And I am on the phone with Ron Rigoni from the Panetta Theater, who is going to talk to us now about Night of the Bards, the second annual Night of the Bards in Sandpoint, August 27th to 28th at 7:30 p.m. and the 29th at 2 p.m. That's Friday and Saturday, and then a Sunday matinee at the Panetta Theater. Ron, it's been a long time since we had you on the radio station, but welcome back. Good to hear you.
My pleasure. My pleasure, Jack.
Tell me how this whole idea got started, because now we're on the second annual one, but we probably didn't talk to you much about it last year because there was a lot going down.
There sure was. There sure was. Well, you know, we live in a talented town, and the talent not only is in the form of those who can perform on the stage, but those who can write the plays so that those people can perform on the stage. And we decided to start utilizing this talent. It was done last year, started by Becky Rivack, and she aptly titled it Night of the Bards. Unfortunately, it didn't go over particularly well, and it wasn't anybody's fault, but COVID reared its ugly head, and a lot of things had to be changed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, COVID is still around. We still have our limitations as far as seating. However, with this big theater that can handle, with COVID restrictions, 200 people, we would be tickled to death if we filled our theater up. We truly would. The plays are written by locally known artists or locally known playwrights, and performed, of course, by a lot of local people that theater goers will recognize on stage. I like the idea of highlighting our local playwrights because we have the talent, because it's there. And I think that this being the second annual, that we'll have a third and maybe a fourth, and who knows how far this will go, depending on just how well the public accepts it. These are five short one-act plays, and they range from comedy to drama and everything in between.
And I love the idea of it. Five one acts rather than one monster, right, of a play. Yeah. It probably gives everybody, it shares the workload a little bit. It's five brand new plays, or have some of them been performed before, or what's the?
No, as far as I know, this will be a premiere for all five plays.
Awesome.
Yes.
And they're,
yes,
like you said, they range. I mean, it's a variety of types of performance, drama and comedy and all that.
Yeah. Well, you hit the gamut right there: drama and comedy, and then comedy dramas.
Yeah.
Which, I guess that's the best way to describe them.
Yeah. Which, I mean, so many of the best comedies do have some kind of you have to have some kind of dramatic tension to, you know, pull things along. What was I going to say? Oh, so it's and five original plays exclusively by local playwrights or locally known.
Mm-hmm. One of them is a minor exception, and that is, believe it or not, my own granddaughter, who currently lives in Southern California, but she has spent many, many summers up here and has got to know a lot of people. So my granddaughter is a student. She's a junior now at the University of California at Santa Barbara. She has written this play, and it is meaty. I when I read it, I said, we have to present that to the good people up here in Sandpoint, of which she knows a lot of.
Mm-hmm.
And she has displayed a talent that a lot of playwrights should truly consider, and that is give your actors something, a role to really sink their teeth into.
Yeah.
And all of our actresses, there'll be four ladies on stage, are doing, in fact, just that. And it is very touching, very moving, and it will be very enjoyable.
Yeah. She's in the theater program, or is she just an amateur player?
She's in the theater program, and she's also been managing director in a theater down in Thousand Oaks, California, mm-hmm. which is kind of an artsy, craftsy place, kind of like Sandpoint, I guess.
Yeah. Not to mention the Ragone pedigree that I'm sure we so is do you want to give a brief kind of a sketch of what these plays are, or any kind of teaser of maybe of that one in particular, what the plot is?
One of the plays it's about a man, an elderly man, with his family, grandchildren, wife, aptly played by Kate McAllister, by the way. Mm-hmm. He's having trouble accepting modern America, and he's a great protector of, you know, for men only. Mm-hmm. You know, he's dated, obviously he's dated, and a rather comic look and a rather ironic twist to that one. The next scene will be something written by Janis Jarzabek, and it's called, I think, Bon Appetit, about a couple on an anniversary, probably their 20th or 25th, something like that, going to a fancy French restaurant, and, well, the comedy starts there.
Mm-hmm.
The play that my granddaughter had written is called Eli, Eli, and it's about the tragic loss and how a family overcomes it, a young family.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is written by Bob Simeoning, and it's about a couple at a bar and some interesting little comedic events that occur between these two people. It's just two people on stage, but they play off each other extremely well. And then the last one is by Teresa Pesce, called The Painter. And it's a lost man finding his way home with the help of a blind painter who is more than just a blind painter.
Hmm.
And that's a quick synopsis of all five of them.
Well, and well done.
Thank you.
Like you were saying, it reminds me a little bit of the music you hear right here on this radio station, in that if you can hear one thing and maybe it's not quite to your taste, but stick around for a couple of minutes and the next one, Yeah.
Well, we hope that we can, entertain everyone. And you know what? We're in rehearsals, we're in mm-hmm. what we call our Hell Week. And they're very entertaining. I think the audience will truly enjoy them.
Yeah.
And we look forward to a good turnout.
Yeah. Give me kind of a ballpark of how many people are involved in this whole production.
Oh, well, what we have is there's about 10. I guess I could call it an ensemble piece, mm-hmm. ranging from ages to 12 to 80. And mm-hmm. I represent the high number there. I would say there's about 12 of us, and some of the characters will be in more than one play. Miriam Robinson will be in two plays, as will the lovely young woman. She's on the bottom end of the age continuum. She's 12 years old. Her name is Laura Weiss. Very talented girl, and we're going to be seeing a lot more of her. Odin Clark is a young man who came on and accepted a role, and I am ever so grateful as to when I'm directing. He made it so easy, so I appreciate him. And, of course, I indicated that Kate McAllister, we all know Kate,
mm-hmm.
and then Kelly Dragoo, if any of you had seen the plays that Poak put on about a month and a half ago, and these were one-act plays also, she's dynamite on stage. So we got some new people, Joe, and I'm sure I'm missing someone, but Dean Thomas, we all saw him on Clue. You know, he was on stage with Clue, mm-hmm. carried a huge load. And we've got a good, so much talent here in town.
Yeah.
And we're going to be seeing a lot more of that in the upcoming months. I'll give a little plug to one. It'll be done at the Panada Theater just after Halloween, called Young Frankenstein. We all loved that movie, did we not?
Well, yes, we did. There is
now a Young Frankenstein, the musical. And it currently is being cast as we speak.
Excellent. Well, I like this. This is good. I love that movie. That's now, I imagine you'll do it in color, or is there some way of, are you going to make everybody up in black and white?
You know, I don't know what the director has in mind. It would be great if we could all be up in black and white.
That'd be hilarious. Yeah. It really does sound like it's going to be a fun night. Have you been serving like as the director of all five, or marshaling all five, or is it broken up?
Marshaling is maybe a better word, because each play has its own director.
Uh-huh.
I'm directing two of them, and Janice Jarzbeck is directing one, Bob Simeone is directing the other, and Teresa Pesce. And however, if I guess it comes under my umbrella, mm-hmm. In as much as getting everybody in the right places at the right time and mm-hmm. and arranging the sequence of plays. So yeah, I guess so. I guess I could.
Yeah, you're the producer, I guess, or something.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and I get to yell a lot, so that makes me happy.
Perfect.
Yes.
Well, again, the dates are the 27th and 28th at 7:30 p.m. So that's this coming Friday and Saturday night, and then on Sunday at 2 p.m.
Yes.
Okay. That's
yep.
Go ahead.
Tickets are available at the door and at Eve's Leaves.
Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, the Panada Theater is in we're in the process of rejuvenating the theater.
Yeah.
And one of the first projects that was required was to get our beautiful marquee, the light that lights up.
Yes,
downtown.
Yes.
And it's in the process of being done. We were hoping that it would be completed by this Friday night, but alas, it is not going to happen.
Ah.
However, it's going to happen soon.
Uh-huh.
And so we will, of course, be notifying the public of a grand lighting, and I think we're going to have some sort of ceremony or something. And it should come within probably the next couple of weeks.
I've seen this radio station studio is right down the street from the Panada Theater. So I've been watching I don't know exactly what's going on, but some major work is taking place there. So I guess...
Yes. It's long overdue. It needed to be fixed for a while.
Yeah.
And we're finally, we garnered enough money thanks to local donations and grants, and we're going to get it done.
Cool.
And it's going to light up downtown again.
Yeah. It's a beautiful and very cool old sign. I don't know. Was it? Do you know the current sign? What the when how long has that been in service?
The current marquee.
Yeah. Sorry.
That was installed. Now I might be off a few years here, but that was installed. You know, the original marquee was a very simple rectangular shape. There's a lot of photographs of it.
Hmm.
What the theater looked like back in the 30s. However, that marquee was updated in the early 50s.
Uh-huh.
To what we see today. That was the one that was reinstalled, just keeping it going as, lights burn out.
Yeah.
Neon, it needs, replacement. And the one thing, because it is a historic theater, we do have to maintain a certain look.
Yeah.
that, you know, we can't go digital and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Because it loses historic value. So in keeping it the way it was, but yet more functional and utilitarian, this is what you have to do a few decades go by and you just have to fix things. That's all. And that's what we're doing.
Yeah. Well, we're excited to see the sign. I know I am. And I hope somebody, I'm sure, will keep the radio station in mind and let us know so we can make it widely, make that information widely available to our listening audience, when the sign is actually going to get lit officially, especially if there's going to be some sort of event accompanying that.
Yeah. Well, you know, with your efforts, with the local media, and with the Panada's vast audience, that we can get on social media. Mm-hmm. A lot of people should know it, and who knows? It might be a rather festive event.
Yeah. Well, it's been obviously a very interesting year for everybody, and including the Panada Theater. I'm excited that there will be some live performances on stage once again here, and looking forward to more coming up, it sounds like, in the fall. Hopefully, the conditions locally permit that to just continue to, advance in that direction and not recede in some other direction.
Yeah. We have to face facts. You know, it was originally built as a movie theater.
Yeah.
A movie theater and vaudeville.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be surprised the number of people out there, younger folks, that never heard of the word vaudeville.
Yeah.
it's a fact, you know, and it has a very large stage. When you think about Sandpoint in 1927, when this theater was constructed, 500 seats for a small town. I mean, Sandpoint had to be considerably smaller than it is now.
Uh-huh.
Was rather, well, a lot of good foresight went into that.
Yeah.
Showing movies was always the showcase. Primarily what kept the theater going. And things have evolved, have they not? People with their 85-inch screens and surround sound and the comfort of their own home and their streaming and things. Whoever heard of streaming in 1927? Whoever heard of streaming in 2010?
I know.
So we have to make an effort now to bring people to our theater. We think there's a lot of people that want to come to the theater, but we have to make it watch-worthy. We have to mix the good movies. I mean, good movies.
Yeah.
And also a live theater, which we are doing, of course. Then there's also the concerts and guest speakers, and there's a lot of things we can do to bring people into that beautiful venue, which is truly, in our area, it's one of a kind.
Mm-hmm.
Truly one of a kind.
Well, you're right. Who knows? Whoever heard of streaming, and who knows exactly what's going to happen with movie theaters in the future? I know. I personally still think the best way to see a movie is in the movie theater. But I know, talking to some friends, they say, you know, they're perfectly happy now with their big screen TV and their surround sound, and they would rather just stay home if it's all the same. So we'll see, but. One thing's for sure, you can't see a live play in your home.
That's right.
And
you know what?
Yeah.
You go and tell your friends, and I'm glad you're broadcasting this.
Yeah.
Go and tell your friends that if they want to see a movie, if they want to see a comedy, they're going to laugh harder in a theater than they are on their couch.
Oh, absolutely.
If they want to see something sad, they're going to cry more in a theater than they are on their couch. If they want to see something suspenseful, it's going to be a heck of a lot more suspenseful in a theater than on their couch. So there's a lot of good reasons, and I think you would agree with me, a lot of good reasons for people to come to the Panda Theater.
Yes, absolutely. Well, that's an excellent note to end it on. Thank you very much, Ron, for taking the time this morning to visit with us. And good luck. Break a leg this weekend.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. The show again is Night of the Bards. It's this weekend, the 27th and 28th. That's Friday and Saturday at 7:30 p.m. Hey, what time do the doors open, Ron? 7:30 or 7?
They'll open a half an hour before that. They'll open at 7 o'clock on Friday and Saturday night, and they'll open at 1:30 on Sunday.
Okay. Well, there you have it. Thanks again, Ron, and we will talk to you again hopefully soon, and we'll hear from you about the marquee as we get closer to lighting that, and all kinds of other developments going on at the Panda Theater that I'm sure people will be interested to hear about.
And one quick note is that, you know, we are still doing the separation, the COVID separation.
Yes.
Okay, so don't worry about that.
Okay, yeah, so you're still seating people, space in between, and, okay, the five.
Exactly.
Okay, well, perfect. Again, thank you, Ron, and now we'll go back to live broadcasting in the studio for our next segment.
Bye-bye.